Welcome. It is 6:40. Let's jump into an interesting subject. The city of Vancouver has decided to take a relatively, well, it's not the city that's decided to do this. This is a nonprofit drug treatment organization that has decided on their own initiative to take action about their city's ongoing crack problem. I wonder what Mayor Ford thinks of this. Anyway, Vancouver is the home to Canada's first ever, you ready for this? Crack pipe vending machines.
You can buy drug paraphernalia out of a vending machine. Obviously, they don't advertise them as crack pipes. They're advertised to smoke something else,
no.
Like tobacco or something.
No, these are crack pipes.
Really?
And they are advertised as crack pipes, and they are marketed to crack addicts.
Really?
Well, yep. How long until in Denver and Washington, where it's legal to smoke marijuana,
yeah.
All the marijuana paraphernalia,
sure,
is going to become,
sure,
you'd expect to go into a store and be able,
right,
to buy it.
Well,
well,
you've got head shops all over the country now that where people go in, it's like, oh, what is this for? This is a bubble pipe.
That's right. You can go this in and buy a bong if you want right now.
Yeah, this is this is decorative. This is not
right,
a...
But now, you're right. It's all kind of, well, it is, but it is
tongue in cheek.
And now it's going to be all out in the open.
Well, explain to me how they can sell crack pipes and advertise them as such.
All right. Portland Hotel Society's Drug Users Resource Center operates the two machines. They dispense Pyrex crack pipes for 25 cents apiece. For us, this was about increasing access to safer inhalation supplies in downtown Eastside, says Kaylin C., director of the organization.
So they don't want the crack addicts to pick the pipes up out of the gutter and reuse them.
That's exactly right. She says there are two reasons. One,
it's sort of like a safe needle program.
That's exactly what they're saying.
Okay.
They're saying that the vending machines will dispense durable pipes that are less likely to chip and cut drug users' mouths, which will help stop the spread of Hep C,
okay,
and HIV.
All right.
The vending machines are part of a harm reduction strategy. The vending machines have, as you can imagine, started a bit of a firestorm. As many as 800 people use the machines every day.
You know, I would have thought that maybe they
200 bucks a day these machines are cranking out.
People would stay away from those machines because they would think the cops would be watching anybody who would go and purchase the crack pipes.
Well, yeah. Now, critics are saying, okay, you are now enabling the addict. You're enabling the addict. You are giving them more access, and it is a vending machine. How are you going to police keeping underage people, kids, from going in and getting a crack pipe?
How could you feel good about being in that business? If you're the guy at the end of the week who goes to that machine and empties out the money, does the thought cross mind of how many lives have I destroyed? Or
this is a drug treatment facility that is running this, right?
Isn't no, this is it
it's
is
not a company.
It is a drug treatment facility. It's not a drug treatment facility. It is a organization that is advocating safer use
of drugs for addicts.
Safer use because it cuts down on the cost of
medicine. The argument they will make is that these people are going to do it anyway. They're going, right, to pick up the pipes out of the street. They're going to reuse them.
Free hypodermic needles argument.
Right.
That's what this is.
Right?
High school kids are going to have sex anyway, so why don't give them condoms? That's perfectly logical in that vein, isn't it?
Why don't give them 50 bucks for the Motel 6 so they can, you know, not be in the back
of
people's cars?
Well, no, just make it so that if you show that you've gotten good grades,
right,
that this promiscuous activity obviously is not affecting your grades, you get a discount on the room.
Here, kids, use the guest room. It's okay.
Why don't we just put, like, in the 400
yes,
block,
take
why don't
it
we
to
put
the most absurd extreme.
Why don't we
here?
Make a, an area where they're allowed to park, you know, and don't allow the cops to come up and
I would have liked that.
Hey, what are you doing in there?
I would have liked that back in the day.
Of course you would have. You know, it's the same logic. This is flawed logic. If you want to spend money on helping drug addicts, then you develop programs to get them into treatment. But here's the problem with treatment. Unless you want to go, unless you are ready to go kick your habit, and you want to, the success rate for a treatment program is next to nothing. Because if you're not ready to stop, you don't want to stop.
I agree with that.
You're not gonna.
But the suggestion of this program that it would lessen the amount of HIV and Hep C isn't enough for you to say that this is a good program?
No, it's not. I just because you have some socially beneficial aspects of a program doesn't mean that it makes it right. It doesn't mean that it's the right approach. This is giving up. This is saying, okay, well, they're going to smoke it anyway, so let's make it safer for them to do so. No, that's the wrong approach.
No one is talking about legalizing it. No one's talking about getting rid of the drug treatment programs for those who want it. You're trying to protect society from the addicts who have decided they aren't going to go into rehab or they're going, to keep them from
Tom,
passing on these.
Part of helping you to decide that you don't want to do something is to understand the negative aspects of it.
You don't think crack addicts realize the
crack addicts don't care.
Well, that's right. They realize, though, but they.
But the new individuals that are coming in that are thinking, I think I'll give it a try. I know I'm not going to catch Hep C or HIV from the vending machine, so I'm going to go get crack and I'm going to smoke from a new pipe every time.
Well, there's that.
Now you have a brand new addict.
Think there are a lot of those?
Yeah, I think there's going to. Even if there's one, it's not worth it.
When I use that argument, you don't like it.
There are people who have tried crack or have tried heroin who say that they're addicted from the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Who say that was so good, I got to get more of that.
Yeah. That can be said for almost anything. There are people that can take their first drink and they're an alcoholic. There are individuals who go and throw $20 down on the craps table and they're a gambling addict. There are people that,
what?
You? Was that you as a youth?
Maybe I resemble that remark a little bit.
There are people that see their first porn magazine when they're a young individual and they become a sex addict. I mean, it does happen. The good does not outweigh the bad. If it's a bad approach, it's bad logic, then it's bad logic. There are better ways to do things, and it's a challenge. But I think there are definitely better ways to do it. WSAU Wisconsin Morning News. Oh, yeah, we're coming back.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
I'm driving back to my work. Feels like the holidays never occurred. And now my cubicle waits for me. Cause I didn't win the lottery.
I hate this job.
Ever since I started working, every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it.
What if we're still doing this when we're 50?
I hear my stupid alarm clock ringing. Can't imagine the pain it's bringing. Though it seems absurd, I'm heading on back to work.
I don't like my job, and I don't think I'm gonna go anymore.
So you gonna get another job?
I don't think I'd like another job.
Central Wisconsin's News Talk, AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.